This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Shall we begin?
Expecto Patronum!
He brought back!
FM 89.9, just casually, 7:38. You're listening to Popcorn Culture with Lynn, Sharmila and Arvin. And we're sponsored now.
Don't you feel like a camera is currently swooping down from the sky and zooming in on us?
No, I think a jaunty opening credit of New York is what I have.
Yep,
the ta-ta-tung and then the bus and then someone runs across with coffee. Anyway.
But you're still not sure if it's a good movie or not.
Which not yet.
Exactly. A great opening for our segment today, because our supercut is a bit of a complex one. Bear with me. Basically, our discussion today is predicated on the premise of whether our viewing tastes have changed. And so the reason why we opened with the 20th Century Fox flourish, much to our own delight, is really because that's what opens cinema films, right? Or a number of cinema films. It's pretty iconic. It's what we think of. It's the thing that you settle in and you're like, lights are down. And perhaps one of the most obvious ways to think about the way our viewing tastes have changed is also to look at how we view, right? And that's going to be one part of our conversation. Have the places you view things changed? Do you now choose some things to go to the cinema for, some things to stay home for? But also in general, we're going to talk about genres. We're going to talk about the way our viewing patterns and desires have changed. So we want to hear from you. Basically, where do you watch stuff now? Are you mostly watching at home? Are you mostly watching in the cinema? What do you choose to go for what? And then the other thing is, are there things that you used to hate that you now love? Are there things that you used to love that you now can't really do anymore? Basically, how have you changed as a viewer? Let's get existential. WhatsApp us, 018-789-8899. You can also drop us a voice note there, by the way. And you can also tweet us, of course, at BFM Radio. Go on, let us discuss.
Well, firstly, 20th Century Fox in itself has changed. It's now basically Disney. So lots has changed.
What's it called now? 20th Century Studios.
I think so. Yes, been removed, right? Mm-hmm. This is really exciting for me to talk about, right? Because I think that even in the last couple of years, it might be because over the course of the 2.5 years of the pandemic, when we've seen this explosion of content, I noticed definite changes. I'm very happy to be able to go back to the cinema. I don't think my love for, number one, first and foremost, wanting to watch most things in the cinema has changed. But I definitely think that the kinds of genres that I used to be excited by, even my patience to sit through episodes and episodes of something to see if I might like it, that has changed. I feel like I'm definitely just less tolerant now.
So I was conflicted about whether to make this, is the pandemic a catalyst for this whole thing? Because it is a bit of a bummer to bring the pandemic into it, right? Like as if we haven't spoken about it enough. But it is, right? It is a pandemic thing. Like I don't think my viewing habits have changed as much as they have in the last couple of years. Like I've completely abandoned certain genres. I completely stopped watching certain things. And then I picked up on other things that I didn't watch before the pandemic. Titles that I wouldn't have considered, shows that I wouldn't have even looked at. So it is a big, big change because of the no cinemas, we had to be at home and stuff. And also just like you, I still prefer watching stuff in the cinema, but that also has changed quite a lot because of the ease of watching things at home. I find that I'm way more lazy now to get up and
100%.
Go to even drive out, even to a cinema nearby. I'm very, very lazy.
So even in the course of the pandemic, I think my feelings evolved because there was a period in which all I wanted was to go to a cinema and watch a Bond movie, frankly. So whether it's a Bond movie as directed by Christopher Nolan in the form of Tenet, or whether it was the actual Bond film, no, I just wanted sweeping vistas, big action, ridiculous storylines and whatever, just your classic cinematic experience. What you think you would get with a Marvel, what you think you would get with what you consider a big screen, a tentpole release. So for a while, that's all I wanted. I was just waiting and waiting and waiting. And then now, like y'all, I think it's just part and parcel of getting used to things again. Now we're spoiled, right? We're back to being spoiled. And you can make a decision about, yeah, I mean, it's big, but is it big? Like, you know, what is it big enough to warrant paying for the ticket and so on and so forth? So that's one part of it. The other thing is the Wikipediaization of how we watch. In other words, look, when we were growing up, right, if you wanted to watch something and you didn't have it with you, you had to go rent it. Like, you had to go out to a shop and try and buy it or rent it. Or you had to wait, worse yet, like, follow the TV guide and try and see, like, when the heck it's coming back on.
8 months later.
Exactly, you know?
And 2 years later, if you're talking about, like, sitcoms in Malaysia.
The 90s.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. So it used to be that when you wanted to watch something, even if you had a hankering for it, you couldn't immediately satisfy. But now, between YouTube and all the streaming services, even if you can't get the full thing, you can get clips. So if you're just like, what the heck? What was that thing? What did he say? You can just look it up. And I think that has actually changed it quite a bit, because if, let's say, in the past I couldn't remember... I don't know, something ridiculous like who the kid was in Jumanji. And I put it on, right? I'm going to watch the whole thing. I'm not going to like try and fast forward to the part where the kid shows up. It's, you're going to watch the whole thing. Now with YouTube, when you want to watch, when you say, hey, I feel like watching this movie, sometimes what you mean is, I feel like watching this scene from the movie. And then you don't end up watching the whole thing.
I recently went on holiday and I was staying in a hotel, and we had one of those, you know, only a few channels. And we had a couple of those, like, you know, HBO, Star World and so on. And, you know, the movies would just run. So there'd be one movie, and then in 5 minutes, there'd be another movie, and then in 5 minutes, there'd be another movie. I had the most exciting time. I had forgotten what it's like to not have control over what you want to watch next. And, you know, my sister and I were there, and we were all like, oh my God, it's Harry Potter part 6 and then part 7 and then The Terminal and then Jumanji. Like, no rhyme or reason. Spent most of the holiday just like watching random movies that popped up on TV, and I loved it.
Actually, that thing, right? It's the same for, I know we're doing radio, but it's also the same for radio when you bump into a song that you like and it's suddenly playing on air. It's that same feeling, right? I'm thinking about, so you mentioned the, like, that instant gratification of YouTube and social media, Wikipedia, you know, finding out stuff online. I'm thinking that hype, or that window of hype, of that waiting, that anticipation, also influences the way that I watch things. So, like, if I had to wait for something and I knew something's coming out and I had to wait for a month, I think I'm going to enjoy it a lot more. Nowadays, I don't get that as much. We're going to review Prey next week. And I didn't know it was going to come out on Disney Plus. So I'm like, ooh, what is this movie? I can't wait to see where this drops. And it's like, oh, it dropped yesterday. And it's like out, right? So there's no waiting. There's no hype. There's no momentum going into it. And I find that, I don't know if that takes away from my enjoyment, but I would prefer to have some window of waiting for something to come out, you know?
Here's the thing about us. I mean, I'm looking at you. I can tell that you're sincere. I was looking at Shamila. I could tell that you were sincere about the delight of the randomness. Mm. You wouldn't choose to live that way, though.
Probably not.
Not
do
at
I,
all.
Do I want? Do I want? All. Yeah, like, do I want one channel on my TV where I don't get to control things? No. But I think the ease with which we can now access content has maybe, we take it for granted a little bit. And the excitement also, the lack of excitement also comes from taking it for granted a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the thing. And it's a hard one to contend with, because I think in some ways we just permanently changed. Like we can pine for the old times, but then when the old times come, we're like, this is fun for a day.
Yes, for a weekend.
For nostalgia's sake.
Yeah, this is great. But in general, we've changed, and we've changed permanently. So we're talking today about the ways our viewing habits and preferences have changed. So we're asking you a bunch of questions. Pardon me for sounding a bit like a consumer survey. I swear this is going nowhere. Really, this is just for us to talk about on radio. I promise you. We'd like to know, where are you watching things now? Are there things that you choose to just stay at home and catch? Or do you still go to the cinema for certain things? The other thing is, in general, basically, have your tastes changed over time? And how have they changed? Did you used to be a fan of something that now you just can't stand? Is it the other way around? You can WhatsApp us 018-789-8899. You can tweet us at BFM Radio. By the way, you can also drop us a voice note. And since we started this thing off with like classic cinema studio feel, here's the outro for The Side of Things.
Farming frustrated minds. BFM 89.9.
What the hell kind of mission is this?
Everyone here is the best there is. Who the hell are they going to get to teach us?
Captain Pete Maverick Mitchell. Let me be perfectly blunt. You are not my first choice. You are here at the request of Admiral Kazansky, a.k.a. Iceman. He seems to think that you have something left to offer the Navy. What that is, I can't imagine.
With all due respect, sir, I'm not a teacher. Just want to manage the expectations.
What the hell?
Good morning, aviators. This is your captain speaking.
And we're off.
Here we go. In 3, 2, 1.
BFM 89.9, it is 7:50. You're listening to Popcorn Culture Supercut with Lynn, Sharmila and Arvin. And the show's done because we're basically going to run off to our closest cinema that's still showing Maverick and watch it again. We've made no bones about how much we enjoyed that film and we wanted to play a little clip, I think just to exemplify the kind of thing that no matter how viewing tastes change, there may be some movies that you go back to the cinema for. So today we're talking about basically how we've changed as viewers, and we want to hear from you. Where do you watch stuff nowadays? How do you make the decision about what to go to the cinema for, what to stay home for? And also, are there things that you used to like that you don't anymore, or vice versa? Are there entire genres or types of films or shows that have changed for you? You can WhatsApp us 018-789-8899. You can also drop us a voice note there, by the way, where we're playing all sorts now, and tweet us at BFM Radio. So, Maverick, did it save cinema?
You know, I think it might have. I mean, I'm going to say Maverick and RRR together, depending on, you know, what kind of movies you enjoy. But I think these two films, and maybe Everything Everywhere together, sort of brought back people's excitement to go to the cinema. And that excitement honestly also includes the slight needing to overcome the fear of being out in public, the pain of having to, in Malaysia, keep your mask on while watching a movie. So there are multiple barriers now, right? Movies like these make that worthwhile. It makes you forget that you're sitting in a theater wearing a mask through a 2.5-hour film.
I also think that, in a way, it saved cinema for a certain group of people who were not going to the cinema anymore. So older audiences, people who like movies like this, people who like the first Top Gun, you know, they went there for nostalgia, right? A lot of, I don't know where I read this, but it said that it brought back like 50% or 70% of like older audiences above the age of 45 or above the age of 50. I also think it's like the perfect opener for this side of things, because the first thing that I thought about when we were going to do this show were the older or the more senior people in my life. So older relatives, parents, even grandparents, right? Because they all have this story of, you know, watching something 15 times in the cinema when they were in their 20s, or, you know, how they grew up watching action or Westerns. And then it sort of tapers off or it changes. And I'm wondering, is that because of, you know, like, because movies like Top Gun, Maverick don't happen anymore? Is it just, it's lost its novelty? It's the change in the way that they consume content, which is what we are talking about also, right? So it's, you know, is it because movies like Maverick don't happen, so they just fall off that bandwagon? It's like, no, these movies, the CGI fest, don't cut it anymore.
Is it also the same as how, honestly, the music that we love as teenagers, there's nothing like it, right? Like you can find new things as an adult. You can say like, oh, I rather enjoy this person, but you're not going to obsessively wear out the cassette. You're not going to try to buy every poster. You're not going to do these things. And I wonder whether it's age, not in a bad way, just that for all of us, as we age out of that kind of like raw enthusiasm, I was thinking about this, like whether, I mean, someday we're going to be talking about Tom Cruise in the same way that people talk about Cary Grant or like Rock Hudson.
Paul Newman.
Yeah, the same thing will apply to Brad Pitt. It's so strange because they're still well alive and kicking and making films and still making lots of money. But yeah, like they are part of that kind of weird Hollywood pantheon. They're just be kind of ours.
I think maybe also who you watch movies with, especially in the cinemas, would dictate whether you still go. So when you're younger, and if you're a teenager in college or even like a young working adult, you have groups of friends that you would go with. And I remember for me, that's the phase when practically anything we'd be up for watching in the cinema. And then as you get older, you might go with maybe a partner or maybe with one or two friends that you see regularly. If you get married and have children, you'll end up watching, I would bet, a lot more children's things in the cinema, because going for an adult movie would require a bit more investment and planning. And then after that, I would guess it kind of tapers off. So I think your sort of social milieu changes and dictates who you go. I, for instance, can't imagine going to the cinema now for just like a stupid comedy. I feel like it would take a lot of effort and planning. But I used to do it all the time.
That is so interesting because I haven't been to the cinema alone in a long, long, long time. And I used to love doing that, especially in college. So I used to go for morning shows, sometimes like 10:30 in the morning, 11 a.m. in the morning. I would go to the cinema and then pick the movie. So I wouldn't know what I was going to watch. That's how I saw things like Premium Rush, that bicycle, that cycling movie.
The point is the outing, right?
It's the outing.
Yeah.
So you go there, you get some snacks, and then you look at the posters or you see the listings and you're like, I'll go for whatever this thing is, which is showing for half price. And I haven't done that in years, actually, if I think about it. I've always gone to the cinema with someone. But it's not because of lack of love. It's just, I don't know why. I can't even tell why that happened. But it's a change. But it's a big change for me. I used to do that a lot.
I never did that until our show. So prior to our show, I think I'd only been to the cinema alone twice. Once to watch Gone Girl while I was abroad. Great experience. And the other for Minions. Again, alone.
Those are two ends of the spectrum right there.
Enjoyed both.
Or the same end of the same spectrum.
Yeah, but enjoyed both tremendously. And now I'm watching alone, and it's a completely different experience because on the one hand, you don't necessarily have somebody to look at and go, you know, which is great. Which is a wonderful thing about going with somebody else or with other people. But on the flip side of it, you also don't have to deal with the impatience when you've dragged somebody to a movie that you know they're not enjoying, which we all know is a special sort of pain.
I think because having lived abroad and not always having the right gang, I've watched movies a fair amount alone, and I do enjoy it. But it's not something I do a lot here. Interestingly, mostly because I think I always have someone to go with. Or as things have become more accessible at home, I often just end up watching them at home. And then at home, of course, you have the choice of either watching it alone, watching it with family, inviting people over. I don't know. I think this idea of why you choose to go to the cinema often changes as you change and your life changes.
Speaking of, though, I mean, we spoke earlier about how Maverick basically brought people back to the cinema, and we've got a number of messages coming in specifically about Maverick. So Julian says, in caps, Iceman! which, he was always maligned. Iceman's great.
Iceman's great.
Oh. And the real hero, some might argue.
No, I think so. I think so.
Right? As an adult, you can't help but see it. Roberto says, I really waited so long for cinemas to reopen. I've not regretted going back. I don't like, though, that cinemas are now only selling large combos. They have to make it back somehow. I mean, have some sympathy. But Roberto goes on to say, by the way, I watched Top Gun Maverick in every possible screen. IMAX, normal, D-Box, Screen X, all. Ha ha. The best was D-Box.
Oh,
I feel like I missed out. I didn't catch it in D-Box.
Actually, I would imagine, especially with the G-Force and stuff, with the slight G-Force, the micro G-Force you get on your D-Box chair.
If any of the cinemas are listening, come year end, may I suggest a rescreening of Top Gun?
I thought you were going to say come here and shake our chairs.
micro G-force. Kamaran Nizam says, it also influences how you perceive the world. Now we want to control everything. I think this is in reference to that easy access to content. We want to know all and we want to know now. But then adds, wearing masks, watching Maverick makes you feel like the pilot.
Also, they're not being able to breathe. You're right.
Yeah. All you need
drawing
is somebody. All you need is someone to come and like smush your face.
So shake the chair.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
We've created our own 4D experience
that
here.
Nobody wants.
Yeah.
Nobody wants this. Okay, we're talking today about how our viewing tastes have changed and experiences. So we focused quite a bit so far on cinemas. And what we go to the cinema for versus what we stay home for. But after this, we're really going to switch gears and speak a little bit more about what are the things that we now enjoy that we didn't used to, or vice versa, really. And we want to hear from you. Are there things that you used to like that you now don't? Or things that you used to hate and now don't? Basically, how have you as a viewer changed? How have your tastes changed? WhatsApp is 018-789-8899. Tweet us at PFM Radio. And Sharmila, we don't have a lot of time, unfortunately, for you to explain, but you didn't watch Love, Death and Robots, the recent one.
Well, I did, and then I didn't like it, is more specific. Mostly because of the hyper-violence, which we'll get to later. Just to say, I used to love the first two seasons.
I am in no mood to repeat myself. I am the only one who can keep this ship on a straight keel. You need me intact.
What the fuck is that?
Soldiers, f***ing archaeologists. The Swarm is a perfect organic system. We can bring order to the chaos of human expansion.
The f*** is that? Evolution is forcing the animal kingdom to adapt, etc., etc.
Shall we shoot it?
Yes, Coots, let's shoot it.
And then robots killed them.
Beyond Frivolous Matters, BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
Christian says you've got this special week planned.
It's sort of a crazy festival. Special ceremonies and dressing up.
That sounds fun.
Unbelievable.
Welcome and happy midsummer. Skål!
What time is it?
9 p.m.
That can't be right. The sky is blue.
This is what 9 p.m. is like here.
How long have you two been together?
Just over 3.5 years.
4 years.
Really?
Yeah.
What do you think?
It's like another world.
Tomorrow's a big day.
Is it scary?
What is it?
It has special properties.
What am I going through?
We just need to acclimate.
I don't want to acclimate. I want to go.
Absolutely not.
What's happening?
BFM 89.9, it is 8:09. You're listening to Popcorn Culture with Lynn, Sharmila and Arvin. And our supercut tonight is focused on how our viewing tastes and preferences have changed. In other words, in some ways, how we have changed as viewers. Because there are things that we used to be okay with that now we can't stand. There are things that we weren't interested in before that now we're like, cool. I want to get into this. And so we want to hear what those are for you. How have you changed as a viewer? Whether it's, you don't have to drag the pandemic into it, but whether it's over the last couple of years or in general, things that you used to like that you don't anymore, vice versa. WhatsApp is 018-789-8899. Tweet us at BFM Radio. So that was a bit of Midsommar. And before we talk about horror, I think that's a nice lead up, Sharmila, for you to expand on what you were saying earlier about violence.
Yes. So I was a big fan of Love, Death and Robots the first season. I think we all gave it a really good review. Second season, a little bit more mixed, but I thought, you know, yeah, pretty cool stuff. When I watched the third season was when I realized that with each episode, I actually started getting less and less interested in watching it, not because it wasn't good. Intellectually, I could tell it was good, but it's just that it just kept upping the violence, right? Like, it was hyper-violence, and it's animated on top of it, so they can do things that, you know, you usually can't with live action. And by the end, I felt like I'd lost my taste for this sort of hyper-violence on screen, particularly when it doesn't feel like it's necessarily earned it. I watched this Tamil movie, Vikram, and I felt the same way. I know a lot of people really enjoyed it. I just couldn't stomach the violence. And I'm not sure what's changed. I'm still fine with The Boys, for instance, but maybe because they do it in a sort of wink, wink, nudge, nudge, this is silly kind of way. This kind of serious, hyper-focused, hyper-violence makes me feel, to be honest, sick to the stomach.
So that's the same thing that happened to me for horror since we opened with Midsommar, right? I used to love going to the cinema for horror movies. It was such like a, it's such a communal experience. Screaming with people, getting like jump scared with people, all that stuff. I've completely abandoned the genre. It is because of the pandemic. It's, there's something about the doom and gloom nature of those movies, or the vibe, the aesthetics, just the very, the heavy tone of these films that I don't enjoy anymore. So I've completely stopped watching horror movies. Even though I want to check some out, I'm like, I'll do it, you know, next week. And then the next week becomes next month, and it becomes next year, and then I just don't watch horror movies anymore. I'm okay with violence, though. Like, action films with a lot of violence, still okay. But I think for me, it's more about the vibe. Like, if the vibe is very heavy, then I tend to postpone or procrastinate.
I think the heaviness, which is the contrast with, like, Boys, right? Where it's kind of just, like, OTT fun. Love, Death and Robots was just heavy, sad, difficult violence.
Well, I mean, there's also Severance, which is not violent, but is in fact very dark and very heavy. And I think that that was one of the ones where I just needed to put it off for a while. So I agree with the... I agree 100% about the darkness or about the heaviness and the vibe. I will say, though, that the reason why we played Midsommar is because I've gone from not being able to watch any horror whatsoever to working my way up towards definitely not slasher level. And Ari Aster also, this is the only one. Like, I haven't gone beyond this. I'm not at Hereditary or anything like that.
I regret watching that one.
Ah, so I wouldn't do that. Yeah. But I've grown to like horror in a that tells very particular stories. So not so much gory, but I like the ones that are kind of suggestive and that offer an opportunity for catharsis. So Midsommar, for example, is incredibly cathartic. I find it a great watch, even though many people die horrible, horrible deaths and there's a fair amount of gore. To me, that's not the point. The point of the film is that, yeah, it's dark, but it offers that sense of release that I know horror fans have always said they like. I just could never understand it because I was overreactive. So now I get it, but it's still only certain types of horror. But that's one of the key ways in which I've changed as a viewer. I really used to not be able to do any of it, and now I can do a fair amount.
I think a lot of this has to do with having to occupy a space for a while, right? Like, especially with TV shows, especially if you binge, you're kind of living in a particular world, a particular space for quite a significant amount of time. Severance is a great example. I did the weekly drop. I think both of you guys did the binge. I would certainly recommend a weekly drop for that, because certain stories, certain genres are difficult to just be in for like 3 or 4 days on end. Certainly, like with Love, Death and Robots, which I binged, I just started feeling like it was piling on and on and on with no reprieve. I don't know whether you might feel the same way with something like comedy or gross out comedy, that if you kept watching something that sort of just kept upping the ante, that you may also just not want to do that all at one go.
Can I just say, I mean, I haven't seen it, but and I didn't watch the original series. But speaking of gross out comedy, Jackass is an incredible success. I mean, they've had like 2 movies recently because one wasn't enough. They had to have like a follow-on. And it's been received really, really well. And so I'm wondering whether the same rules do, in fact, apply for gross-out comedy.
I used to be able to watch Jackass. I don't think I can anymore. I can't even watch clips now without cringing. So I do feel like I've changed in that regard.
So I think for me, right, the one thing that hasn't changed is that escapism is number one all the time. Like, I don't watch movies for the, you know, to quote-unquote appreciate it or the art of it and stuff. It is always escapism. But I think that sense of escapism changes from time to time, depending on where you are, how old you are, or, you know, coming back to the last 2 years, the situation that you're in. Sometimes, like for me, a couple of years ago, horror was escapism because it's
I'm
fun.
I'm there now. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Mm. But then now, horror doesn't seem like escapism anymore. It's just more stressful to me, so I avoid it. So I think that changes, right? That's like a, it's a very fluid thing. Like, you know, you can say you're going to the movie to have fun, but then that sense of fun takes on different meanings and different tones from time to time.
I have an increased fondness for adventure movies, and I think that that is a direct reaction to not being able to travel.
Oh, yes, for sure. Yeah. I have an aversion to stories about like family trauma and marital issues. What's that one with Oscar Isaac and Jessica Chastain?
Scenes from Marriage?
Yes, which got such great reviews. But I saw a little bit of a clip. I saw a trailer and I don't think I can do this.
I thought you were going to say A Marriage Story, which was also tough.
Intense. I haven't watched it yet.
Oh,
and I've wanted to because I love Adam Driver. Both of you guys have said it's great, right? Or at least you said I should watch it.
I wonder whether... So our separate conversation made me think we reviewed it, clearly.
No, we didn't.
Right.
I never got around to watching it. And exactly because I don't feel off late and for a while now that I can do these sort of traumatic family kind of shows.
I feel the same way about slow burn indie movies. So it's very specific. Like I can do A24. That's a very pretentious thing to say. Like I only do A24.
I can,
you know, I shall. But I can do A24 movies because of how unique they are. And then I don't know what to expect. So I watched A Ghost Story during the pandemic. And it's one of the best things I've ever seen. Not just in the last 2 years, but like I've ever seen. I would recommend...
Casey Affleck.
I love that movie. It is very heavy. It is very like existential. But because you've never seen a movie done like that and it gives you something new, I think even with the slow burn vibe, the indiness of it, the heaviness of it, it still works. So in that sense, yeah, slow burns don't work anymore, but depending on which studio it comes from, if it's something new, then I will check it out still.
That's amazing to me because you were the one who recommended Burning.
That's another one.
Which is the ultimate.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, it's practically in the name, but it's such a slow burn indie film. It really is.
That was a 2020 movie, right? That is the other thing, you know. I don't know if I would watch a Burning in 2022. But I watched a lot of new things in 2020, if that makes sense. Like the first MCO was a very unique thing, right? It was a
was the Wild Wild West.
Yeah. And you were like, "Ooh, this is we've never done this before."
Ask me to watch a streamed play from London now. Ask me if I would do it.
So we've been asking you how your viewing habits have changed. What are things that you used to like that you don't anymore? Are you now a bigger fan of comedy or horror or romantic drama than you used to be, for instance? You can WhatsApp us 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. We have some messages. So Bong says, these 2 years I've watched English TV series more than movies because of Netflix and also because of shorter episodes in a season. For movies and cinemas, recently I was lucky to get more free tickets than I've ever had in 20 years.
Good for you, Bong. Mm-hmm. But you know, the thing about shorter episodes in a season I really vibe with. I've been so excited about shows like Watchmen or Mayor of Easttown because they're marketed as being limited series or mini series. I mean, whether or not we might get another one remains to be seen. But I feel like the not having to think about the story won't end here and I might have to commit for like 4 more seasons. That feels like a lot to me right now.
Ooh, that's another thing that has changed. You know, I find myself like looking at the runtime of episodes, which I never did before. So the sweet spot is about 38 to 40 minutes. Anything longer than that, I'm like, I'll put this off if I don't have to watch it. It's way too long.
Interesting. It really depends on how much I like it. So, which is maybe that part hasn't changed for me. So I'm perfectly fine with longer, even more ponderous episodes, longer films, longer seasons. I'm okay. As long as the thing is of quality. I have an increasing lack of patience with, and I think this is pretty well documented in our reviews at this point, for spin-offs. So things that are spin-offs can be 38 minutes and I'm still going to be like, too long, shouldn't exist. And so, you know, it's a completely different thing. Speaking of spin-offs and IPs, HX says, I used to really enjoy Phantom Menace as a kid and then realized how annoying and stereotypical Jar Jar Binks was as I got older.
Okay, I know Arvin has thoughts on Jar Jar Binks, but I wanted to say, you know what has aged? You know what has aged actually better than I expected was Phantom Menace, the movie. Jar Jar Binks aside, not great Anakin Skywalker as a kid aside, I used to hate that film the first few times I watched it, but I rewatched it, I want to say about a year or two ago, and I was like, hey, this is actually pretty fun. The only issue is these things. Otherwise, it's actually a pretty good film.
I'm going to say it was never bad to begin with. Like, the movie was never that bad. I'm not a fan of Jar Jar Binks, by the way. I just don't mind him. Like, I don't get the hate.
I feel like the I don't mind him is like the hype block for most people. Yeah.
By the way, so keep those thoughts coming. We're asking you basically how your viewing habits or how your viewing tastes have changed. Are there things that you used to like that you don't anymore? So do you find yourself liking, I don't know, drama or horror more than you used to, vice versa? Share your thoughts with us. That number to WhatsApp, 018-789-8899. Tweet us at BFM Radio. So we've been talking quite a bit about longer, shorter episodes, binging, non-binging. And we've also used the term weekly drop, which is kind of sad, right? Because it wasn't that long ago that that was the only way of doing things. Episodes were just released on a weekly basis. And some people have started doing it again. One example that I find really intriguing that we're about to play is Only Murders in the Building, which I know Sharmila hasn't had the chance to watch yet. But Arvin, you've watched it.
Season one.
Yeah, and I think that it's a really interesting format, particularly because it's a mystery.
Because it's a mystery, and also because... so that works perfectly for the weekly drop, right? I think I've mentioned on other reviews that Lost is my benchmark for best TV show ever made, and that works on the weekly drop suspense model. Mm. And so every show that I check out, I try to either space it out enough, or if it's doing the weekly drop, then I'm like very, very happy. Because binging on shows like Only Murders, I feel just ruins the mystery. Because if it ends on a cliffhanger, and if you can just do the, okay, next episode, then it just leaves you like, oh, okay, you know, I don't, that whole mystery or the whole suspense of it is completely diluted. So yeah, I would always, always opt for the weekly drop.
And you know what's cute about it? So I'm not a huge weekly drop person, and I've realized that this comes from my habit as a reader. I like novels. Mm, yeah. So I like being able to dive right in. And I think binge watching shows that weren't meant to be binge watched, like Mad Men, for example, which is in fact structured like a book, allows you to see like connections and the themes carry over from episode to episode that you might miss or forget when you're watching week on week. Because who remembers that this person wore that dress with the scarf that guy gave her, you know. But when you're binging it's clear, it's right there. And so I've always or increasingly become a binge watcher, not even out of anything, just because I'm like, yeah, this is fun. Like, I get to draw these sorts of comparisons. But Only Murders, I'm a huge fan of the weekly drop because of the mystery thing, and also because it's structured almost like a traditional sitcom.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. It is.
A weird thing.
It feels like a 90s thing. It feels like a show that you would catch on TV in the 90s.
Well, I'm very excited to watch it. But I have to say, I've become the opposite of you. Used to be a huge fan of binging, especially in the early days of Netflix. Increasingly, I find myself quite excited by the weekly drop. I like having the appointment TV. Or Wednesday night this, Friday night that. I'm not saying that's the ideal, but somehow I think something about it, the anticipation
for
of it.
For me, it's the ideal.
Yeah.
For me, that's the ideal setting for TV shows.
I don't want to make an appointment. Like, I'm not into it.
No, but you see, we actually get the best of both worlds, because if you miss your appointment, it's still there.
Yeah, or you can save it up and then know that you've got it there for you, you know? It's just, okay, right. It's okay. Agree to disagree. We are talking today about our viewing habits and tastes and the ways in which they've changed. And we want to hear from you, right? Is the way you watch stuff, has that changed? Are there things that you used to like that you don't anymore, or the other way around? You can WhatsApp us, 018-789-8899. Tweet us at BFM Radio.
How well do you know your neighbors? You see many of them every day, but have you ever wondered what goes on behind their doors?
Are you associated with the deceased?
No, no. We're neighbors in the building.
Mm-hmm, so you don't know him?
Just in passing.
Not his passing?
No, yes, when we passed by him.
Before he passed.
That's right.
We find the right connection, and all this cracks open.
I can't tell if I want it to be nothing or for it to be something.
We began with the question, how well do you know your neighbors? Turns out the ones you thought you knew best might be the ones you know the least.
Every true crime story is actually true for someone.
And this is just occurring to you.
I think we should just hit him with the charm.
Good. Excellent. So I'll take the lead on this.
Excuse me?
Well, I can turn on the charm.
Is it on now?
It's just warming up.
Business, finance, and music. BFM 89.9.
병신 걸렸네.
무궁화 꽃이 피었습니다.
I don't know how to come back from that. Sorry.
I'm still recovering. I thought I'd gotten that out of my head, and now it's back.
What do we usually say? BFM 89.9. It's 8:28. You're listening to Popcorn Culture Supercut with Lynn, Sharmila and Arvin. And our Supercut tonight is focused on the ways in which we've changed as viewers, whether it's our tastes, stuff that we used to love, we don't anymore, stuff that we used to hate, now we love, or for that matter, how we watch things. Because I never thought I would be a binge watcher, and yet here I am, an outlier, apparently. So if you'd like to share how you've changed as a viewer, WhatsApp us. 018-789-8899. Tweet us at BFM Radio. Squid Game brings to mind, firstly, Korean soft power supremacy, which we can talk about, Hallyu Wave, so on and so forth. But the other thing was, we talked about violence earlier, and I didn't get to say what my preference is. Love it. But very specifically, so I like, I like it when it's stylized. When it's so unreal as to be ridiculous, I really enjoy it.
Like Zack Snyder.
Thanks.
What is a show if Zack Snyder is not
mentioned at least
I'm going to do the other thing. John Wick is my example. Because I used to be very bothered by body counts in action movies in particular. I would be very fussed by like the innocent bus riders who like didn't ask. They were just going to work and now they're dead, you know? And that stuff used to really bother me. And I think it's because we've moved away from like 90s action to a more like heads exploding like coconuts and you're just things going crazy.
Because the end of Con Air.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like those people were just there for a weekend or something.
Yeah,
and then
I
now
know. The whole of Los Angeles. Las Vegas.
Yeah. And like Cyrus the Virus running around, like, you know, just a lot of stuff. But I've come to realize that we talked about Bullet Train earlier this week. We just played a bit of Squid Game. There's John Wick. That sort of violence, when it's done with the same purpose of like achieving catharsis or some sort of like, it's so over the top that it's crazy and it kind of triggers a release of emotion, quite appreciate it.
No, that's exactly it. I don't think I would be bothered even today. So, okay, weird thing that I'm going to say. I don't think I would be bothered by John Wick. I think I would be even more bothered today than I was when it came out of Man of Steel and unnecessary body count. And I know that Superman is more unrealistic than John Wick, but I also think that it looks a lot more realistic in Superman.
Pandemic.
Yeah, I know. We're trying not to make everything about the pandemic, but I do think that sometimes the emotions that you went through over the last 2 years also changes what you want to constantly put your brain into.
So for me, I don't think it has so much to do with the pandemic, but I think it's because with streaming services, right, the level of violence and the level of gore and even yes. horror that you see
yeah.
is uncensored. Like it's just off the charts. There is no, they don't bring it down. They don't dial it back or whatever it is. So for me, it's sort of, I'm numb towards those kinds of things. So I prefer movies like Upgrade that is also hyper-violent, but the violence is done in such a unique way and the choreography is so stylized. But I've never seen anyone move that way. I've never seen people fight that way. I've never seen action scenes that flow that way. And then I appreciate the violence. But otherwise, it can be like when I was watching Squid Game, half the time I was sort of like zoned out during the very violent scenes because I've seen this. It's been in other shows. Other shows have done much worse. Like The Walking Dead 10 years ago used to do a lot worse than Squid Game.
So Intestines in hands.
Yeah. So for me, it's just numbness. I think because of streaming services and also because of shows like Game of Thrones and Walking Dead. And stuff like that.
So, we've been asking you about how your viewing tastes have changed, whether it's where you watch stuff or how you watch things, or whether it's what you like to watch. Has that shifted over time? Has it particularly shifted over the last couple of years? WhatsApp us 018-789-8899. Tweet us at BFM Radio. I think we're going to be winding up now with some of the messages that have come in. So, sorry, Loke just said, real, okay, this is in caps, real fans know Superman does not kill. The character DNA is wrong.
That is exactly the energy I'm talking about. Loke, I appreciate it.
I like that movie.
I knew it. See, you kept quiet just now. I'm glad you came clean.
What guesswork is there? Someone invoked Zack Snyder when it was uncalled for. What do you expect? There it was.
It's a fine movie.
I mean, you're the one who convinced me to watch Justice League in the cinema.
That is true.
Can I remind y'all that this is, it's not the same movie, but it's in the same universe that Batman picks up a gun? Yes. I know that it's not a real sequence.
And that's when I fell off the bandwagon.
Ah, you see.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know.
You evolved.
I evolved.
Everyone has limits, is what I'm saying. Legion says, in my secondary school years, it was TVB or Taiwan series during golden hour on TV during weekdays. Each episode ended on a cliffhanger, and during the daytime, we would discuss the characters and possible storylines in class during recess. The weekend wait was agonizing, and we really looked forward to the coming of Monday to continue the series. And sometimes we hated public holidays because instead of that, something else would be shown for that season. Nowadays, we can finish the entire series in a week on the app or on YouTube, but there's none of the agonizing wait for Monday, no frustration when the series is delayed because of public holidays, and sadly, no discussion at work. I also used to enjoy China series, especially period dramas in the 90s and early 2000s, but soon the method actors were replaced by cookie-cutter stars chosen for their looks rather than their acting abilities. Also, some of the messages in the series smacked too much of Chinese nationalism.
You know what that reminds me of is actually Game of Thrones. Because, at least even the latter seasons, let's be honest. But has there been another show since Game of Thrones that got that many people doing the water cooler thing?
That was the last big one, right? Mm. And I love the word agonizing because it is so agonizing.
It is.
Yes.
For me, it's a good kind of agony. I don't know. The wait is like, it's a good agony. It's a positive kind of agony.
So you went straight to Game of Thrones. I was going to soap operas, mostly because of the invoking of TVB and because of the specific kind of shows that they primarily did. Even if it was about cops, it was really a soap opera in disguise. And I wonder whether soap operas are clearly still a thing to a degree. They're a bit more prestige, but they're still around. But I think that they're in competition with reality TV.
Well, you mean actual soap operas, not your like Ugly Betty, Desperate Housewives, Bridgerton,
no,
that have soap opera-ish tropes?
No, see, I would argue that, Riverdale is probably a soap opera.
Mm.
Yeah, so, you know, soap operas, but just they're not called soaps because we've kind of moved past Dallas. But yeah, I mean, soap operas are still well and alive. But I think now if we want that emotional manipulation I can't say the word on air, but the slapping and the twins and the what have you. We've got reality TV for that.
Yes, yeah. I think so. Although is reality TV still something, except for certain shows like Tiger King and whatever, is reality TV something people are that invested in anymore?
See, we haven't talked about Love Island, which I don't watch, yes. but I know that the people who do watch are incredibly hooked and with good reason. I don't watch mostly to preserve my sleep because I know I'll fall into the trap. I know it. I refuse.
It'll be interesting to see if people who used to watch soap operas then transitioned into reality TV to fill that void or to check those boxes.
Or to K-dramas.
Yeah, yeah.
I was going to say, there are actually plenty of serial dramas, whether it's K-dramas, Tamil dramas.
Yeah.
There are a bunch of them that you get on terrestrial TV. And yeah, so I think there's actually plenty to be hooked onto weekly.
Also, something like This Is Us.
Yeah.
That checks all those boxes, those soap boxes.
Yeah, yeah, which is the same as like Brothers and Sisters.
Brothers and Sisters.
Yeah, it was similar vibe. But yeah, I'm kind of intrigued now. We've introduced it very late in the game, but I'm quite intrigued by soap operas as a concept because they also functioned 100% on the my doctor twin is pregnant with, you know, whatever. And then you're like, what is happening? And now if you can just go on to the next episode within the next 20 seconds. The way that they structure it is different too.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes. And I definitely think that something like Riverdale, which I was actually into for the first season, works better when you have a bit of that distance. 1 week for all the high drama to kind of dissipate, and then you're back and you get to watch the next one.
Because I think if you watch two episodes at a go, you forget most of the details in both episodes.
And you start feeling a little bit like, come on, la, how many times can one person almost lose their life and then, like, I find the love of their life and then fall in love with someone else? 2 weeks in a row, that's a bit much.
And come back from the dead.
Yes, and come back from the dead.
Yeah. And then the love of the life, scammer? Probably
right?
Scammer. Mm-hmm.
Body snatched, maybe?
Yes. Yeah.
Face off?
Hypnosis?
We can write this thing.
Yeah.
Second career. Aduna says, I think the cost has a major part to play these days. Is it worth paying 25 ringgit for a movie on top of eating out and so on? So yeah, very picky now. Followed by, sadly, the two movies I've been looking forward to have been banned anyway.
So Aduna's point is actually really interesting because part of what inspired our show today is because the two movies that we reviewed this week was Lightyear, which was supposed to be a cinema release, then we watched it at home, and then Bullet Train, which we watched in the cinema because...
But could have watched at home.
Could have watched at home.
Yeah.
Lightyear, for me, I feel like some of the anticipation dissipated by the time it arrived and I could only watch it at home.
Speaking of Lightyear... Should we talk about animation a bit?
Because we do have this message from Rish who says, I used to have the principle that cinema going is reserved for non-animated movies, especially sci-fi and action. I'm really against watching animation movies in cinema because I feel it's not worth the price. Then I got a girlfriend.
Oof.
And since then, I've watched every possible animation film in the cinema. Claymation, Boxmation, Woodmation, 3Dmation, Papermation, and so on, which is how my cinema watching habits have changed. FYI, I am married to that gorgeous girl now, so I guess it worked out for the best.
Well, firstly, you should thank animation. But secondly, actually, I love watching animation in the cinema. But I think as we discussed in last week's show, I tend to wait for a really good one. I'm not the kind who'd watch every... I'm not going to watch Boss Baby 4 in the cinema. But
or the new Minions movie.
Hey, I didn't watch that. Okay, sorry.
Everyone be cool.
Yeah, right. Let's not malign Minions. But if you told me that there's a new Tim Burton animation or a new Laika one, or if someone's been going on and on about something new, then I would go.
So I don't think that I've reduced watching animation, but my attraction... for animation has reduced significantly over the last 10 years. This got nothing to do with the pandemic. And I honestly think it's an MCU thing. Because animation checks certain boxes or you have certain cravings for certain kind of things, right? And animation, only animation can do those things. I think ever since the MCU became more colorful and when it became more popular, especially over the last 10 years, those movies check all those boxes because they function like cartoons or animations. There's so much CGI, the aesthetics, the visuals, that they sort of fill that void. And then animation cannot do the same thing. And there's also something about watching stuff in 4K, let's say, in live action, seeing all the hyper details in that CGI that animation just cannot live up to. I still love the medium. I still love animated films. But I honestly blame the MCU for doing that because I get everything that I need from a cartoon in a live action Doctor Strange or Thor or whatever it is.
That's really interesting. I'm having to come to terms with the fact that I think maybe I love animation more intellectually than I do in reality. I love the concept of it. And there are lots of animated films that I truly love and have enjoyed over the years. But increasingly, it's not that I don't think it's worth the price. It has nothing to do with that. I recognize the craftsmanship and the work. But the fact that I'm saying things like this also kind of tells you that it's just an intellectual love and appreciation more so than a visceral drawing of, oh my God, it's an animated film, I have to go watch it. So I didn't expect this, but as an adult, I guess I've increasingly gone down the Crankerton path of saying maybe animation's not always for me.
I still deeply love animation. I think what's happened, though, is that we also get a lot more animated stuff than we ever did before. Previously, you know, there would be maybe 5 good ones a year. Now, maybe there's still only 5 good ones a year. But if you look on Netflix, there's easily an animated movie dropping every week or every month, on top of which there are a lot of the anime stuff that you now have access to. And then you have series that are animated as well. You have children's content that's animated. Then your usual Disney and Pixar. There's just so much that it often feels like you're overwhelmed, and a lot of them don't do anything that's very different.
That being said, though, I find myself watching a lot more animated shows on Netflix, stuff like Rick and Morty or BoJack Horseman. Those kinds of shows have a completely different vibe, and I don't think like any live action movie or any... They have a TV vibe, and they're much easier to watch. So I watch those not like in like sequence, but then I watch them whenever I'm having lunch or whenever I have some free time. So those things I've been watching a lot more recently.
I've realized I never loved The Simpsons. And because of that, adult animated comedy series don't do it for me. And much as I want to get into BoJack Horseman, much as I want to get into Rick and Morty, it is the same like barrier that existed for me getting into The Simpsons. Anyway, just coming to these realizations. Jesper says, I think since the pandemic started 2 years ago, I choose the movies to watch, like Top Gun Maverick, Elvis, and Jurassic World Dominion, where I feel a cinematic experience is needed. And for others that can be watched from the comfort of my own home, I'll do so. Genres that I've always loved watching and still watch till today for both movies and TV series are comedies, romance, musicals, action, mysteries, and adventure. A genre which I used to enjoy, like period dramas about kings, queens, and knights, something I can't watch too often these days. I do enjoy shows, though, like Marriage at First Sight, MasterChef, a lot more compared to last time.
So what Jesper said about period dramas reminded me of something you said, Lynn, during our review of Bridgerton, where you felt like you couldn't necessarily watch a Regency-style drama that's all white people anymore without feeling like something was off.
Yes,
right?
That's exactly what I said. Yeah.
And I agree, actually. I can watch older movies like a Sense and Sensibility, Emma Thompson, but I feel like, barring maybe The Crown, which does a very specific thing, I would rather see something different being done, like David Copperfield, like Bridgerton, than to go back to these tales that have been told over and over again.
Yeah, it's the realizing the tone deafness of some things, I think, become a lot more obvious, especially with older movies, right?
Yes, I agree. I do also want to say, though, that regarding Jurassic World Dominion... It's tricky, right? Because there are some things that you think are going to be big screen necessities, and then you get there and they aren't. And I can't help but feel sometimes a bit cheated by that. And I think sometimes it also does the movie a disservice, because something that would have been perfectly okay, people would have been fine if it dropped as part of their monthly subscription, they're suddenly really mad about because they were promised a cinematic experience and didn't necessarily get it.
Well, and like Aduna says, it ends up costing you close to like a 40-50 ringgit outing.
Yeah. Speaking of which, though, I wanted to ask, like, did you ever used to pick cinemas or cinema showtimes depending on the kinds of crowds or the kind of people or who you would like to quote-unquote watch the movie with, strangers, like the strangers in the hall?
I think you both know that I've had a very bad run. I don't talk about it often. I don't talk about it publicly. But I have watched the cinema. I've watched movies in the cinema with some challenging people recently, folks. So whatever I'm picking is clearly bad.
I pick the least crowded times, usually. Sometimes, because of the nature of our work, I'm also generally stuck doing the weeknight late show.
Mm. Or the Sunday morning show.
Or the Sunday morning show, both of which have very interesting crowds. Like, people who voluntarily go watch a movie at 9:30 p.m. on a Monday night are a very specific crowd.
So I asked because I used to do that thing where I wanted to avoid the big crowds for any big release. Anything that I'm like really looking forward to, I would go for the 2 p.m. show or the 3 p.m. show on the first day. And you know, like, not many people are going to show up for that. And if they do, then they really want to watch the movie. I find, though, that ever since Avengers Infinity War, I've always pick the communal experience. So that's something that's very, very new for me. And that's only changed in the last 3 to 4 years. Ever since that movie came out, I love that feel of the crowd and the people sitting there and the cheering and the, you know, enjoying that movie together, which is something that I never thought I would do. I would always pick the most antisocial time of the day to go and watch one of these movies.
I've always been big on the communal experience, and now I don't get to do it anymore, mostly for these reasons. But yeah, I actually love it, but I've had a really bad run, so I don't know anymore about that. Thevin says, given that there are so many streaming platforms and unlimited TV series, now I usually only invest in a show where the IMDb rating is more than 7. Anything less, I'll ignore it, even if it was recommended by a friend. Whew. Most Malaysians have poor taste, especially when you see the top 10 trending.
Let's not judge people's taste.
That, and is that even the real top 10 trending, or are we being manipulated? Mm-hmm. So, you know, anyway.
I do Rotten Tomatoes more than IMDb.
Do you do that more than 1MDB, Shyamala? Where's the money? Tell us.
Although if trusted friends recommended something, I would overlook the IMDb rating.
Ooh, I haven't checked out like Rotten Tomatoes before watching a movie for a long, long time.
I do it after. Yeah.
So I've changed to doing it after because I find that it influences the way that I view the movie afterwards. I don't know why. I try not to let it, but it does. It just does.
So we're winding down. This is a bad time to ask. Our views have changed about trailers, no?
Yes, I hate them.
I hate trailers.
They're so spoilerific.
Yep. Except when they are the kind of trailers that they released for something like, I don't know, The Lighthouse, where nothing makes sense. It's just images. And then it's exciting.
No, I bring it up because it's kind of sad, right? Because if we're not checking IMDb and Rotten Tomatoes for fear of being influenced or of getting spoilers, and we're not watching the trailers because they're spoilerific, where are we finding out what to watch? It's actually quite crazy. It's a landmine.
This is why something like Prey drops and we don't know until it's already out.
Yeah.
We're doing it next week, folks. Mm-hmm. Sorry, just to say, it makes it sound like we're not doing it at all. We're doing it next week.
Can I just admit that if I skip a trailer and the trailer starts playing in the cinema, I actually hum to myself so that I can't hear what's going on, and then I look at my popcorn. Is that...
I even do the crazy, like, scroll on Netflix so that the autoplay thing doesn't happen when,
As the I'm okay with spoilers person, I'm okay. the segment was brought to you by Sharmila and Arvin. I'm fine with spoilers.
Trailer haters.
Yes. Steve says, I used to enjoy watching TV during the 80s when TV3 first started playing series like MacGyver, Magnum PI, Dynasty, Dallas, Happy Days, Family Ties, Mork and Mindy, and a lot more like Starsky and Hutch, Kojak, Hawaii Five-O, Dallas. Nowadays, I shift my taste to movies. I've recently watched Bullet Train. Hope you enjoyed it, Steve. We did. And a few others too. And of course, not forgetting TVB during the 80s, Shanghai Beach, aka The Bund, Men in the Net, The Brothers, Shell Games, when those days VHS were popular, and the rental of Chinese series. The Bund is such a classic shout.
None of those shows would have worked on a binge. Like, imagine binging MacGyver.
I was just going to say, imagine binging Dallas. Who shot JR? Oh, here you go. This who?
No, but it's... I think MacGyver is worse. It's
right? The repetitive...
Just a series of rubber bands and...
It's an SNL skit. It's that MacGyver SNL skit.
MacGruber.
Oh, my God, yes.
Rowan says, my tastes remain the same for the most part. I'm still a scaredy cat, hence so proud I could complete the 3 series by Michael Flanagan, Haunting of Hill House, Bly Manor, Midnight Mass. Mm. I realize I only binge watch when I stumble upon a show that I didn't expect to like. For example, Sandman. Is BFM doing a review on this soon? Yes, we are, next week. Westworld season 1 in 3 weekday nights. Good Lord. Sorry, that's a surprise to me. That's very dark. Of course, after the season completed. I've given K-dramas a shot. Business Proposal was the first one I watched, but I can't bring myself to watch the others. I guess I'm a creature of comfort. Binge-watching is tiring, so I don't do it intentionally.
So, tiring is one. The other is I realise when I binge-watch something, I never remember what I've watched.
I think it's, we say tiring, might we mean satisfying? There's just so many ways of looking at things. Jing Tao says, I love the weekly drop of Apple TV Plus originals. The production quality of most of their shows is high and worth the wait.
Thank you, weekly drop fans. Join us in this corner.
I mean, that's cool.
Is that also like a change? Because there is a thing with Apple TV quality, right? And I think recently a lot of people are realizing that they have a lot of quality shows. So there is even like, you can change by picking different streaming services. Like I found that I went from Netflix to Disney sometime last year, and then I watched a lot more Disney Plus. And then if you find that Apple has better stuff, then you slowly move to Apple, then you become an Apple person. I don't hear anyone talking about Prime. And I wonder why.
Well, Prime had some good stuff for a while. And I watched The Boys on Prime. But with Prime, it's always like there are a couple of things I like. When it drops, I'll go back. Mm-hmm. And then I tend to forget that they have stuff. But yeah, you're right. I think I also go through phases where a lot of Netflix and then suddenly a lot of Apple. Yeah.
Farid says, DC animated series and movies are still good. Can't get the same feeling with DC's live action.
Oh, agree.
Yeah, completely agree.
Mm-hmm. 100%.
I go back to yelling, not at us even, but just at the world about Superman in a very understandable way. All right, we've been talking today about the ways in which we as viewers, our tastes, our habits have changed. If you'd like to weigh in, WhatsApp 018-789-8899. We continue reading your messages long after we're off the air. You can also tweet us at BFM Radio and write to us movies@bfm.my. Thank you so much for listening. This has been Popcorn Culture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.